The Yankees had baseball's best outfield last season, and they were running back the same starting three. We'll talk about that group. They've brought back Cody Bellinger. They've brought back Trent Grisham. What does it mean for Jason Dominguez? What does it mean for Spencer Jones? And we'll have the DH talk as well with Giancarlo Stanton. All that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Jacob, how you doing today, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing really well, man. Besides Mark DeRosa ruining my night last night, I'm having a jolly old time watching some competitive baseball. And also, I'm in Jersey, and it's been like 75 to 80 degrees each of the last 3 or 4 days, so that's incredible. I know it's the fall spring, but I know we're going to have this right around the corner anyway. So let's go. Let's get it. It's almost spring officially. It's almost baseball season. I am excited.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped, and the weather's been great. I've been really enjoying it. I threw my first wiffle ball bullpen today, so I'm up to 20 pitches. We're only going fastballs. We'll introduce breaking balls in a week or two.
Do you incorporate weighted wiffle balls into that routine?
I throw a couple of weighted balls, but not really that much. Like, I want to just make sure I feel good and, like, arm feels good. You know, got to make sure the elbow responds well, the back responds well, all that stuff. Got to get through that.
The back.
Yeah, for sure. You know, trying to have a big year this year, man. Trying to have a big year. So, yeah, no, I'm not bullshitting you. I did throw a bullpen today. Got up 20 pitches. That did happen. So, I've really enjoyed the weather. I'm happy it's warmer. But as you mentioned, I think it's going to cool down a good bit before.
It's going to be like 35 degrees on Friday.
Yeah, not loving us. That.
Punxsutawney's fighting back after the one good week.
And we'll see how I don't know what the forecast is after that, but I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping and praying that we get some nicer weather after the little cold front we're getting.
Well, the forecast calls for some Yankees baseball. That's
yes,
what I'll
it does.
Say. And in this podcast, it calls for some outfield discussions.
And I think we have to start with Aaron Judge, right? Like, it's three-time MVP. I know it's also not in numerical order. Like, it's not. It's started with nine, but yeah. He's the best player on the planet, in my opinion. Best hitter on the planet, in any reasonable person's opinion. Three-time MVP, reigning AL MVP, back-to-back AL MVP. Jacob, what are your expectations? What are your thoughts on Mr. 99 going into 2026?
I mean, I don't think there's much more to say about Aaron Judge. Like, we all know who he is now. He's done it each of the last four seasons outside of 2023 when he was hurt. But even then, he was playing kind of at the same level as he had each of the other seasons surrounding that. I will say he's entering his age 34 season, so I'm not expecting him to keep up that literal, like, best hitter in the last 20 years pace. Eventually, he's not going to be a 200 WRC plus bat anymore. But based on what we've seen from him, both during the WBC and during the spring, he's coming ready to hit this year. And like I don't think he's going to repeat exactly as good as he was last year, I think it'll be close. So even as like what I'm hoping for is the start of a graceful decline in this year, because he's not going to maintain the best hitter of all time forever, but I think he's still going to be the best hitter in the league right now. So I'm expecting him to have another, like, 8-9 win season. And if he's an 8-win player, like, this offense is still elite, so.
Yeah, and we'll get into projections in a little bit because I think that's going to be a fun conversation for the over-under. Judge this past year hit 331, 457, 688. That was his slash. Led the league in batting average, won the batting crown, hit 53 home runs. First hitter to ever win the batting crown and hit 53 home runs in the history of the sport. 10-win season. I mean, there's not much else more to say outside of this guy's the best hitter I've ever seen with my two eyes. I did not get to watch Barry Bonds in his prime, so my default answer is Judge. Like, I've never seen a guy do what Aaron Judge has done offensively. The numbers back that, and I stand by that take. Jacob, I guess the next question here is, what's your hot take for Aaron Judge for 2026, if there is a hot take for Aaron Judge?
I guess the hottest take of mine is probably that he's going to be worse than last year, even though I don't think it's going to be. He's going to be worse than last year and still the best player in baseball. That's what I'll say my hot take is.
My hot take is that he's going to set a career high in stolen bases. I know he talked about running a little more. He stole 16 bases in 2022. He stole 12 last year. His career high is 16. I think he gets to 20. I think Aaron Judge will steal 20 bases in 2026. Feels like for the last few years, we've seen like surprise base stealers. I think it'll be Judge. Like that's just what I think is going
to
happen.
Yeah, that quote, he definitely was looking across to Queens and seeing his former teammate Juan Soto steal. How many bases was it?
38.
38, dude. So Soto almost goes 40-40. Judge is like, if you could do that, I could do that. So that'll be interesting to see. I don't think the Yankees are going to want him to run very much. And also, we have a really good lineup. But we don't really have a need for him to be running in front of our, like, 4, 5, 6 hitters. So, I personally wouldn't want him to, but, like, if he wants to go out there and steal bases, who am I to say otherwise? So, that's a fun one.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is I just get flashbacks to when he got hurt stealing a base against the Twins in a game that the Yankees were winning pretty handedly, and it's like, why? So, as long as he doesn't get hurt, I won't care. But if he gets hurt, I would have them shut that shit down immediately. Any final thoughts on the captain himself?
I mean, it's Aaron Judge, man. There's not much to say.
We had outlined this to be the shortest part of the show. It's Aaron Judge. There's really not much else to say. I find the other players on this list far more fascinating to talk about. And the next player we're going to talk about, we're going to go to his left with Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham came back on a one-year, $22 million qualifying offer. He had the season of his life, and he couldn't have timed it any better. Hit 34 home runs, had a 129 WRC+. That's an OPS of 811 as well. His defense took a step back. The offense took a big step forward. Jacob, what are you expecting from Trent Grisham in 2026?
I mean, I think he's going to have another good year. I've seen so many people out there that are like, oh, he had this fluke good season. He's going to return back to an 80, 85 WRC+ bat. But it's like, since he's been a Yankee, even in 2024, after I think it was like from June on, he didn't get that many at-bats. But when he did, the metrics were pretty good. And all of last year, the metrics back up what he did. He actually underperformed his expected stats in a lot of ways last season. So I'm not expecting a big slide like a lot of other people are. I think he's going to find the short porch a lot. I think I could see him hitting even more homers this year because a lot of his homers came on the road and he didn't really take full advantage of Yankee Stadium. And that was had a lot to do with luck, a lot of lineouts to the warning track and stuff like that. Very similar to Ben Rice at home. But yeah, I think he's going to have another solid season. And I hope you agree with me.
I'm in on Trent Grisham for this year. I think he's shown a lot offensively. I think he's really progressed into a really quality top of the lineup, whether it's leading him off, maybe it's hitting him fourth or fifth. I don't really know where they're going to slide him. I have my own opinions on who should lead off, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Since people chanted at Trent Grisham, we want Juan Soto, he has a 234, 341, 461 slash line. He has a 127 WRC+. He has hit 41 home runs in 731 plate appearances and 625 at-bats. That's
dude.
Aaron Judge level volume in terms of at-bats, which is pretty nuts. Like, that is, he's been that guy. And the one thing I want to point out with his offensive profile, 66th percentile in zone contact rate, 97th percentile in chase rate, 89th percentile in damage rate. To kind of put that in layman's terms, he makes contact in zone more than the average hitter. He is elite at recognizing pitches out of zone. And when he does make contact, he absolutely crushes the baseball. So this is a profile I'm going to buy into. And if it doesn't work out and he doesn't play well, it's a one-year contract. The questions I really have about him are his defense. I'm not sure he's going to get the steps back needed to ever be a plus defender again. I think my bar is, hey, can you get back to being average? But yeah, that's where I'm at with Trent Grisham. I'm a believer. I've been a believer, and I am a believer.
Mm-hmm. I the defensive note, I do think it's interesting. He played through a hamstring last year for a little bit, so maybe that hurt the numbers a little. But his sprint speed even before then was at a career low. His range wasn't nearly as rangy as he had been in his San Diego seasons and even his first year with us. So that's probably the thing to watch for. Obviously, we want to see if he can repeat his numbers, but I think the metrics support him having another strong season with the bat.
Yeah, and again, it's a situation where teams evaluate players not just based on their career stats anymore. That's just where baseball's gone. We have better ways to evaluate future production. I guess this is going to kind of parlay into the second part of this, which is, Jacob, I think you might have hinted at this, but what is your hot take for Trent Grisham in 2026?
My hot take is that Trent Grisham puts up a better season than he did in 2025. And considering how many people are expecting him to crash back to earth or whatever, I'm predicting more than 34 homers, more than 3.2 F-WAR, more than a 129 WRC+. He's going to improve all of those results-based stats in 2026.
I had a similar take. I was just going to say his OPS was going to be higher, and I'm kind of cheating a little bit here because he's going to probably get platooned a little more, which we'll get into later, which, again, that's kind of cheating because he's going to get at-bats in situations where he's a little more favorable. I also would take the over on his base running runs and his defensive runs, so even if the OPS doesn't improve, I think the WAR could improve. So, I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a believer of Trent Grisham. Again, I don't know how many games you're going to get of him in center field because of the platoon situation. I don't know how strong of a platoon that's going to be, but I think the Yankees brought him back for a reason. I think the numbers indicate he made real improvements. Jacob, any final thoughts on Mr. Grisham?
Well, I personally wouldn't want to platoon him. His metrics against lefties are pretty good. He doesn't, like, the splits were apparent last year, but under the hood, he looked pretty similar against both. And I think we need to just give him run. Like, we're going to get to Grichuk. I just don't think Grichuk is better than Grisham at this point in his career. So I want Grisham out there every single day.
Yeah, it's totally fair. We will get into that more. I do think that's going to be an interesting topic because there's a lot of different ways to attack that fourth outfield spot. Let's finish this starting group off with Cody Bellinger, the highly paid outfielder for the New York Yankees. He signed a 5-year, $162.5 million contract. He's an opt-out after years 2 and 3. Last season, rebounded after not a bad year in Chicago, just not a great one. He had a .272 average, .334 on base, a .480 slug. He hit 29 home runs, 98 RBIs, just shy of the 30-100, which I think still looks pretty on a stat line. And he had 4.9 WAR, great defender in left field and right field, can play some center field, and still a pretty solid defender at first base. Jacob, what are your expectations for Big Belly in 2026?
Well, Bellinger, I think he fits our park so well, man. Like, having that range to cover our left field and also having the swing tailored for our right field, it's just a perfect fit. And, like, as much as that contract kind of, all offseason, we're like, oh, I have my number with Belly and I don't want to go over it. I think we maybe went a little bit over where I would have liked it to be, but 5 years at a little bit over 30 a year isn't the worst thing ever, especially considering some of the other deals that got signed. So I'm expecting maybe not a 5-win season like he had last year, but I'm expecting him to be a really good, like, borderline all-star tier player. And in our lineup, like, he's not going to have to be the guy in our lineup. He just has to be a guy. And as long as he's a guy, the contract is worth it.
Well, I'm gonna take the I would bet on him being a guy in 2026, like a human being. I'd bet on that for sure. Yeah, in all seriousness, I think you're spot on. I think he's a good player. He's been a good player for really, like, I think 24 was a solid year, just not a great one. He's been a good player for 3 years now, and this is after a stretch where his career really bottomed out. The really bad years are the outliers now in the Cody Bellinger kind of career stat line. Is he the same player he was in Los Angeles when he was winning MVPs and Rookie of the Year? No, he does not have that top-end power, but his bat-to-ball abilities are better. His defensive profile has somehow gotten better. He's become a really, really strong defensive corner outfielder. My questions with Bellinger are kind of health-related. Like, I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that outside of last year, he's really had at least one IL stint a year, and even last year had some stuff pop up that caused him to miss games, but the athletic scores haven't really gone, so I'm a fan. Like, I think Bellinger's good. I don't know if I would have given him this contract in terms of, like, if I was counting every penny, but the Yankees set a new franchise high in payroll, so I don't know if it ended up affecting anything that they could have done otherwise, and I don't know if there's a player that you could have gotten for less money that is as good or really even comparable in left field. I don't think Stephen Kwan was attainable, nor do I think I would have paid that price. Is Taylor Ward, like, the next best guy for the corner outfield that isn't Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, like, Ward is solid. I like Ward, but I feel like the Bellinger just fits our park so much better, man. Like, I don't know how Ward would have done out there at the big left field. I don't know how his bat would have played as a righty in our park. The fit is there. Like, I'm gonna say this every week until the end of time. The fit is there. So as much as, like, you put Bellinger in a different park, he's not worth $160 million. You put Bellinger in Yankee Stadium, he very well might be. So I've got no issues with the contract at this point. I think him being, like, kind of an anchor in this lineup, despite not having to be the best hitter, he just has to be like a 110, 115 WRC plus, who's going to hit some homers, going to drive Judge in, going to get on base enough. That's all he needs to be, and I think that's what he can be.
Yeah, again, and I don't think last year is impossible to replicate. Maybe the defense is where I get a little bit like, defense is just not as sticky as offense is. But I think he's a good player, and I think that he'll continue being a good player. I mean, last year he was a down ballot MVP kind of player in terms of wins above replacement. Jacob, you got a hot take for Cody Bellinger?
My hot take for Bellinger is I don't think he'll play a single game at first base this year. And kind of when that contract was signed, a lot of the talk about him as a free agent was, oh, he's got versatility. And it's like, yeah, he can play first base, and he's like okay at it, but he's a much worse first baseman than he is outfielder. And since we brought back Goldschmidt, since we have Rice, and we know that they want Rice to play every single day, I don't think there's any reason for Bellinger to play first base at all this season. He played only 7 games there last year, and I don't think that's going to come into play all this year.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree. I don't think he's going to get first base reps. I mean, we'll see. He had 7 games played, which is a little bit kind of muddy because games played is not starts. He had 26 and 2/3 total innings at first this year, his second lowest mark in his career. And again, that's with Ben Rice not really playing a lot of first base until Stanton came back. So Bellinger, I don't know if I have a hot take per se. Like, I feel like anything I would kind of say would be pretty much what people would expect. Like, I could say, hey, I think he's going to steal more bases this year. He stole 13. It's kind of reasonable to expect him to maybe steal 15 or 16. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a better defender. I don't think he's going to be a better hitter. I don't think he's going to be that much worse of a hitter. I guess my hot take here is that I think that Cody Bellinger is going to win the Gold Glove in left field. Like, I think he didn't play a lot of left field last year is what I didn't realize. 572 and 2/3 of his innings came in left field. He had over 1,200 innings in the outfield. He had more innings at right and center field combined than he did in the left field. So I think a full-time Bellinger in left field, I think he's going to dethrone Mr. Kwan, who might get traded. So that's part of the take here. Is that a little bit crazy? I bake everything into these kinds of takes. Like, yeah, I try to consider every variable.
The left field position in the AL is very shallow for, in the whole league, actually. It's very shallow for Gold Glove. So as long as Bellinger just has to beat out Kwan, and he's probably the best defensive left fielder in the AL. And yeah, if Kwan gets traded to the NL, he can't win that award. So
yeah, so I mean, that's my hot take. And I think that's a good way to wrap up the belly conversation. We're going to finish with DH here, and then we're going to do our over-unders. If you guys are listening to this, like, subscribe, turn on your notification bell if it's YouTube, and leave a 5-star rating if it's on audio, and download as well. Let's finish off with Giancarlo Stanton, former NL MVP who kind of resurrected himself back from the dead. There was a point in time in 2023 where you could have reasonably concluded that we just saw the end of Giancarlo Stanton. Then this year he had 24 home runs in 77 games. Jacob, what are your expectations for 36-year-old Giancarlo Stanton after last year?
I think this is probably the hardest player on the roster to get a read for, because obviously he's got the injury stuff. He's got the age. He's the oldest player on the team who's penciled in as a starter every day. And he's also, you never know when he's going to be healthy. So it's tough. It's tough to like kind of have an idea of what he's going to do. But he's still Giancarlo Stanton. He's still a Hall of Fame level talent. Obviously, if he'd been healthier, he'd be a surefire Hall of Famer. And he's creeping up on 500 homers, so it's still a possibility. And I'm not going to count him out. I'm definitely, like, last year, I think he definitely overperformed what we should expect from him this year. But, like, 24 homers in 280 plate appearances, that's just ridiculous. I think he's going to run into a bunch of homers this year. He probably won't get on base quite as much. Like, a 350 on base is his highest since 2021. I don't expect that to repeat itself, but I think he's going to be a lot more of a like homer or bust type hitter than he was last year, like closer to what he was in like 2024, 2022. So not quite as good overall, but I think the power is still going to be there. It's always going to be there with him.
Yeah, again, Giancarlo Stanton slugged .594 last year. He had a 158 WRC plus. It was the highest WRC plus he has had in a season since 2017 when he won NL MVP over Joey Votto. He hit 59 home runs that year. This year, he was absolutely remarkable when healthy. The question is always with Stanton, when is he going to be healthy? When are you going to lose him? And that is always going to kind of have a cloud over the heads of Yankee people in terms of how do you manage this roster now. I think they've done a better job of having internal options for when Stanton's down, but not sure how many games we're going to get from him. Jacob, what's your hot take for Mr. Stanton?
My hot take is that Giancarlo Stanton plays 140 games, and I feel like that's the only hot take possible for him, because it's just like, on the field, like, when he's there, you know he's good, but, like, just, I'm just going to gamble. I'm just going to say, you know what? He's just not going to get hurt this year. He's going to play 140 games. We'll just see.
If he doesn't get hurt this year and he's good, like, this offense is going to be a freaking wagon. So I'm hoping for it.
Like, I understand. I believe in the premise of injury-prone players, but I also believe that injuries are mostly random. And if he can just luck out and not get hurt all year, that, why not? Why not 140 games?
I'm going to go back to the well of the stolen base. Stronghold Stanton's going to steal his first base since 2020.
I don't think
it's going to happen. He stole a base.
I'd take your money on that one.
I technically have to amend that because he did steal a base in 24 in the postseason, but he's going to steal another base. It's going to happen.
Who was that? Against Cleveland?
It was against Kansas City.
Against Kansas City?
I think.
I don't remember that one.
Or might have been Cleveland. It was in the AL portion of the postseason. It was definitely not against the Dodgers.
That would be crazy. Steal a base, steal a taco, Giancarlo Stan.
Dude, it's gonna be against the Miami Marlins. Augustin Ramirez will be behind the plate. No disrespect to Ramirez, but I feel like that's the catcher you would steal off of.
That's a revenge game too for him, so it makes sense.
And you know, thankfully we're not gonna be in Miami this year, so we don't have the obligatory massive blown lead game, which has been
a
feature
every time.
Yes, they're never fun. I think that's a good way to wrap the bow on Mr. Stanton for 2026. Do you have any final thoughts?
I have a fun stat on Stanton. Last year, outside of the COVID season, last year was Stanton's lowest chase rate since his MVP season, and that was that's the reason his on base was so much better. He walked over 10%, which he hadn't done in a while, and even though he was whiffing, like, I think he whiffed more than ever last year. And he struck out almost 35% of the time. Like, his contact rates were way down, but his offense as a whole was better because he wasn't chasing. And that's, like, that's an interesting development. If he can keep the sharper eye this season, then maybe he'll have a good chance at performing better than I expect him to. Because I didn't think he was going to be a 350 on base guy. I still don't, but maybe he'll be a 330 rather than a 300, which he'd been a few years prior.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I'm not sure people realize just how crazy it is for a guy who was 33 and had a below average OPS to become a firmly above average hitter again. Like, that doesn't happen. It's usually the end, or at least then you settle into some, like, platoon role and you get a bunch of one-year contracts around the league, a la Randall Grichuk, who we'll get into in a little bit. We're going to play the over-under game, Jacob. Start with Judge. Go to Grisham. We'll go in the same order we went for our breakdowns. Aaron Judge, 7.3 WAR, over, under, or push?
I'm going to say over. I still, even though I do think he's not going to be quite as good as last year, I feel like projecting a 3-win deficit from last season is a bit extreme. I can still see him being a 8-9-win player fairly easily, so that's where I am on him.
I think it's also important to note that this is the highest WAR projection for any player outside of Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, this is like, you don't see a lot of 7 WARs out there, but I would also take the over here. Cody Bellinger, 3.3 wins above replacement, over, under, or push?
That's right around where I'd say over. I'd still say he's probably going to be about 4 win player. And I think, again, like I said, the projections for him hitting-wise, I think he's going to probably exceed them because he's going to find the porch a lot, even though the metrics won't. Like, he's always going to outperform his ex-Woba in our park, and I think that's going to be the case again.
I'm also going to take the over. I think for the same reasons, I think he's going to hit. I think he's going to be a good defender, and I think he's going to put up exactly 4 wins above replacement. Trent Grisham, 2.8 wins above replacement, over, under, or push?
Well, because of my hot take where I said he's going to get better at everything, I think I'm going to have to go over again. I'll say like 3.5 win season, and he's going to hit the market and get paid.
I think I'm going to take a push here because I don't know what the playing time is going to look like. So, and there is that hamstring injury in the back pocket, and he's slower. So I do have to, like, there are some things I'm baking in that I'm not sure he's going to play enough to get past it, if that makes sense. And WAR is such a fickle stat that, I mean, the difference between 3.2 and 2.8 isn't crazy. I would consider that essentially the same player. So I'm essentially saying he's going to produce as much value as he did last year, which I think sounds about right to me for where I'm at with him.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we'll wrap it up with Giancarlo Stanton, 0.8 WAR.
I mean, since he's playing 145 games this year, he's got to go over. So it's like, that's the over sweep. The overs have all taken it based on my own brain.
I think I'm also going to take the over. And the reason I say that is because even in 24, where he was a 117 WRC plus, negative 4.4 BSR, which for layman's terms was a good, not great hitter and one of the worst base runners in the league. And oh yeah, only played 114 games. He had 0.8 WAR then. I expect him to have a better OPS than he did in 2024. So I'm going to take the over, even if it's very slight, even if it's like a 0.2, 0.3. Yeah. I'm going to take the over and trust Giancarlo Stanton for 2026.
Yeah, literally, the only times he's ever gone under that were seasons where he played under 25 games and 2023 when he was actually just a bad hitter.
Yeah, and again, I think just I'm going to take the over. I'm comfortable taking the over on that. Let's get to our fourth outfielder, or what looks like to be the Yankees' fourth outfielder, and that is Randall Grichuk, who the Yankees signed to a minor league contract kind of last second. It came out on February 25th, so the team had already reported to camp. Jacob, what are you expecting for Grichuk this year? Do you think he makes sense as the fourth outfielder, and how are you using him if you think he should be the fourth outfielder?
Honestly, man, like, I don't know what to make of it. I don't think he's going to be on this roster for the whole season. And I guess that might be my hot take. I don't know if we're doing hot takes for the bench guys. That's probably my if we are, that's my hot take for Grichuk. And I don't know. I just don't see the fit here. Like, we already have two other platoon righty bench options in Goldschmidt and Rosario. Grichuk is kind of just a third one of those. He's 35 years old this year. He doesn't play a good outfield. And we have, like, once Volpe gets back, they're going to be bumping Caballero to the bench. And one of the bench guys is going to have to go. And I just can't see us. I don't think we're going to be carrying Rice as the sole backup catcher for a large chunk of the season. JC is going to have to be on this roster. And we're going to have a backup infielder that's not here right now on this roster. So I don't think Richie's going to be on this team for more than like six-ish weeks. And even when he's on the team, I don't think he's going to get that much playing time. Unless, for some reason, someone isn't performing or he, and the few at-bats he gets, is really performing.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, look, I personally think that he's going to stick a good bit, and that's because I believe that he's going to find it again against righties. Last year, at a 796 expected OPS against lefties. He still hit the ball hard. He has good bat speed. But I also recognize there's a very real chance that we go from good expected stats to bad expected stats. I mean, expected stats are actually not very predictive. They're just descriptive. They tell you what your numbers for that season should have been, not what your numbers next season will be. But I think he will repeat those same expected numbers or have the same quality of at-bat, and therefore, I think he's going to have solid numbers against lefties. But there are concerns here. Like, he's not a great defensive outfielder. He's pretty slow. I know he, quote-unquote, could play center field. He, quote-unquote, cannot play center field anymore.
Like, probably shouldn't be playing left field in our park either. That's why I just don't really see him. I don't know. I just don't see it.
It's definitely weird for the Yankees to kind of take that kind of gamble in left field, considering that there are some guys that they have avoided going after because of their defense in left field. It feels like Grichuk's a weird
I think cave. I'll tell you why we did this with Grichuk. I think he's there to be Stanton insurance. And what I mean by that is if Stanton, it's kind of anyone insurance, right? If an outfielder or if Stanton goes down for an extended period, then you could platoon Grichuk and Jason as like one unit. And we'll get to Jason too in a second, but like he only makes sense if he's in a true platoon role. And I don't think he's good enough to be in that platoon role with Grisham right now. And I don't think that's enough of a reason to roster him. So if someone goes down in the outfield or Stanton goes down, he'll be getting plenty of run against lefties, and it makes sense to have him on this roster. But otherwise, I don't see it.
Hey, that's totally fair, but I think he's going to be fun against lefties. I'm going to like having that option. The thing I do wonder about is, like, are you going to get that much more value offensively to make the defensive swap? Because not only does Grichuk have to out-hit Grisham against lefties, in the same logic of Randall Grichuk's expected numbers against lefties, you would also have to do the same thought process for Grisham, who had really good numbers, expected numbers against lefties last year. Is it going to be worth a defensive drop-off? Is it going to be worth the roster spot? These are all questions the Yankees are going to have to answer throughout both spring training and the regular season. The good thing is that guys have options, so you can option Schumann and option Cabrera and go, okay, let's see what we have at Grichuk, and if it doesn't work out, then You cut Grichuk and you call up those two guys, and they're capable of playing the outfield if needed. I do prefer Schumann in that role over Cabrera, but we talked about that in the infield episode. Yes. I just think, hey, it's a minor league deal. If it was a major league deal with guaranteed money, I think I'd be a little more pessimistic about this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it comes off to me as, like, it's non-committal. Like, we don't have... he's probably going to break camp with this team, but I don't think it's going to last... like, as soon as Volpe gets back, I don't think he's going to be on the team anymore, unless someone goes down.
That's fair. And look, someone going down can happen. That's first and foremost. And it's expected. Secondly, yeah, yeah. And well, not no, because you think Stan's going to play 140 games. So actually...
Well, yeah, but you also think Bellinger's going to go on the IL this year, so...
That's a good point. And you know what? I mean, guys just go down. Like, things happen. Yeah. You get... All it takes is one pitcher... not knowing where his fastball's going to
lose a guy for a month. This is a great deal for us, because it's like you get this guy for basically free just to have him in case someone goes down early in the season or at the end of spring. So it's like, I like the move, but I just don't think he has much of a future with us.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think this is a good point to kind of get to our prospect side of this. I guess not really for Jason, but for Spencer, yes. Jason Dominguez, we'll start with him. Jason last year had a 103 WRC plus in his rookie year. He stole 23 bases. He had 10 home runs. 0.6 WAR was not a good defensive corner outfielder, but I did think offensively there are things to like. Jacob, where is Jason Dominguez at for you, both in terms of role, expectations? What do you think of Jason Dominguez for 2026?
I mean, I just think, I don't know, it's a tough situation where I really like the bat against righties. Like, Jason from the left side was a really good major league hitter as a rookie last year. Like, everything to me says this guy is a good bat, and he's a really good base runner. He's really fast. The issue is his defense was just so unplayable out there at times that it's not, like, based on what we have on the roster, he doesn't fit. He's not going to get plate appearances. And the things he needs to improve, which is the defense in left field and the offense against lefties from the right side, he needs plate appearances. He needs innings to improve those things. So starting him in the minors makes plenty of sense this year. And like I said earlier, I think he'll come up if someone gets hurt. And he has, like, a more regular role. But I think the main reason they don't want him up in the majors right now is because, first of all, the stuff he's good at, we kind of have a lot of on the roster. And the stuff he's not good at, he's not going to get any chances to improve those things if he's in a limited role on the major league roster. So it's definitely, a lot of people are like, oh, we're messing up his development. Oh, we're not giving him a shot. But it's like, it's just the way the roster's built. He doesn't fit on it right now. And it's like, if he has a strong AAA season and we're halfway through and someone goes down, it's like, oh, maybe he'll come up and prove to us that he's improved his defense. He's improved his hitting from the right side of the plate. And even if we don't have a spot on the roster, maybe by midseason, if he's doing those things well in the minors, we could trade him. We could find a good trade partner, and then he'll actually get reps with a team that could use those reps. So I do think there's a lot he needs to improve upon, but I also think that the him being a top prospect makes sense with how good the bat already looked from the left side last year.
Yeah, and I think the skills are there. I mean, 55th percentile zone contact rate, so above average at making contact to pitches in zone, 60th percentile damage rate, 67th percentile Seager score, which is swing decision metric evaluation. I mean, he's above average in terms of swing decisions, above average in terms of impact on contact, and right around league average in terms of making contact in zone. It's a pretty good combination of skills if you're going to win baseball games. Like, I think he's got the tools, but as you mentioned, his flaws directly work against what this roster needs, and so doesn't really work in a bench role. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If this was the 2021 overly right-handed Yankees, he would be playing almost every single day. This is a team that's better than that team, first and foremost. This is a team that has better left-right balance, and this is a team that has two outfielders in left and center field that I think are better than Jason Dominguez, at least for 2026. So I get it. I get it. I get why he's not going to be on the big league team, barring injury, but he's a good insurance policy to have if Stan goes down, especially against right-handed pitching. Any final thoughts you have on the Martian?
Well, I do think, like, it would literally be the reason we have Grichuk is to platoon him in the DH or left field role if an outfielder or Stan goes down. So it's like, I could see that happening if someone gets hurt, but barring that, I don't think he's going to make it up this year unless he really does prove himself in the minors.
Yeah, for sure. Again, I think he's going to have I think he's going to have a year. This is going to be an important year for him. I don't know if he ends it with the Yankees. I don't know if he ends it being a starting player for the Yankees. Yeah. It's a wide range of outcomes. I'm excited to see which outcome we end up getting. And I think Spencer Jones is in a similar camp of very wide range of outcomes. Don't really know if he's going to come up, but I mean, he's kind of the polarizing guy. He just got reassigned to minor league camp, which started a freak out last year between AAA and AA, 35 home runs, a OPS of 932, but the big sticking point here, a 35.4% strikeout rate. Jacob, you've kind of become the podcast high man on Spencer Jones. What are your expectations for him in 2026?
I am the Spencer Jones guy, aren't I? But first of all, I want to ask this. So we optioned him to AAA. He's been reassigned to minor league camp. But didn't he just play another spring training game after that?
I think he can. You can play in spring training games even if you're not on the major league roster. That's a thing.
But what does that even mean then? If he's getting sent to minor, is there just like, does he do different practices with just minor, like on the day to day? How does he even like change his day to day?
I think
or
it's
is
more.
Just, he's, is it like is it just like a he's not on the major league roster anymore type thing, like just for MLB's transactions? Like,
I know you get fined for not taking a certain percentage of your major league guys on the road, like you get fined for that, so it could be something to that effect of like, well, he's no longer like on the major league team, he's no longer on the major league team, so we don't have to take him on the road. And at this point, guys are coming back from the World Baseball Classic, there's no longer Spencer Jones getting starts is not more important than playing Randall Grichuk right now, because you need to get Randall Grichuk ready to go. And in the minor league camp, they have everyday scrimmages where Jones is going to play and Jones is going to continue to play, and you don't have to report who's playing to Major League Baseball. So there are some small, very minor things that you gain from it, which is, again, just that you're no longer compelled to take Jones with you. And you don't have to take Jones with you to road games, things of that nature. You don't have to play him, which is kind of important when you have other guys you have to play.
Yeah. And dude, I'm looking at his spring training stats. He's like a demon in March, man. He is so good in spring training. And I think we have to tell him, like, we have to replace all of his calendars in his house this year with just March. You just put March over the top of the whatever month it is, and he'll trick himself into hitting very well. But honestly, he was a really good hitter in the minors last year. The strikeouts are obviously concerning. But the fact that he, at the end of last year, he was in AAA, and he got hurt, like, with 2 months to go or something like that. And his numbers after that were not nearly as good as they were before that. But he still put up a 130 WRC plus in AAA with a 36.6% strikeout rate and dealing with injury. Like, for as much as you have to understand, right? The bat has to translate to the bigs. That's the big gap. Like, there's a ton of AAA guys who can hit and produce down there who, when they get to the bigs, they don't produce. That's the quad A player, right? And there's maybe some risks. There's a ton of risk of that with Spencer Jones. But the fact that he's right there, he's at the second highest level of baseball, and he's producing, and he's doing it with the high strikeout rate. And I think there's so much. He has so many different opportunities to improve different aspects of his game that I'll never give up on him as long as these tools are present. So I definitely think, I don't think we'll see him this year unless there's injuries and he's playing really well. But like, he could play center field. He has 80 grade power. Like, I'm always going to anticipate this guy eventually breaking out. So I'm excited for him this year. And he's made some slight swing adjustments. He's been making more contact in the zone this spring, even though it's a very minor sample size. So I'm excited. I'll be keeping an eye out on his numbers for sure.
Yeah, I think Spencer Jones has the upside. I'm at the point with Jones where I have to see a hitter like that do it in the big leagues for once. And maybe he's the outlier. Maybe I've never seen somebody like Spencer Jones in my life. We'll see. I'm not sure I'm going to bet on him making his debut with the Yankees. I think he'll debut somewhere else is where, honestly, I think I'm at with him.
I think my hot take with him is that he'll be the opening day center fielder for the 2027 Yankees.
Really?
I don't think Grisham is a Yankee beyond this season, and I don't think they're going to want to move Belly to center field, so we're going to need a center fielder. And it's like, if Jones has a good season this year in AAA, why not him?
I will say, I think I'm pretty confident in saying Spencer Jones, there's a clearer path for Spencer Jones to become a big leaguer than for Jason Dominguez. And I think the Yankees roster contractually is built that way. Not sure if that's intentional. I don't think it's necessarily intentional, but I don't think it's an accident that they... I don't think it's an accident that center field is going to be open next year.
Yes. And I mean, I think the... Everyone was so mad that Grisham accepted the qualifying offer, but it really is a perfect, like, if Jones really takes another step forward this year, that's a perfect transition from him to Spencer in 2027.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what he ends up being. I think he's the most interesting prospect in this organization because...
He might be the most interesting prospect in baseball, dude. There's nobody else close to what he does.
I think the world where he ends up... The world where he ends up kind of clicking offensively is one where this team, like, their window extends and the upside, and there's just, like, there's a, it kind of, it's a kind of a franchise-altering outcome if he were to pan out, and that's why I'm alternating under the assumption that he's not, because not trying to expect the franchise-altering outcome.
Nobody in the building thinks that this is gonna happen. Everyone in the building thinks it's a possibility of happening.
Yeah. We'll see what ends up happening. We'll see. Because this is, again, I genuinely believe this is a franchise-altering outcome if he pans out. But
and I've said it before, like, if Joey Gallo was, like, had a better... If Joey Gallo had better PR, then people would be higher on Spencer Jones than they are. But everyone remembers Joey Gallo for being the guy who went to the Yankees and his career collapsed. And because of that, he's the only other guy even kind of close to this type of profile. No one thinks Spencer Jones could succeed because of that.
Yeah, and I think that's where... Man, there's just so many on and off field variables. Like I don't think it can be completely dismissible to talk about the fact that you would have to be playing for the New York Yankees. You go 0-for-4, you strike out 4 times, they could win, and that's what they're going to talk about. Like I think there is some of that, but we'll see. I don't know.
Honestly, though, like I could see him being like Miguel Sano bat with average center field defense, which is just that's a really good player.
Yeah, it's an incredible player. I mean, that's an all-star. You just described, I think, a perennial all-star. You tell me a 114 WRC plus and 30 home run power, and he's a good base runner. So, yeah, I think that you just described to me an all-star. Yeah, like, if
Miguel
you do Sano that.
Played for how many years, and he couldn't defend and couldn't run? Like,
well, I think
I'm not going to give up on this guy.
I think the thing people would point out with both he and Gallo is that their careers ended like as soon as they turned 30. That's true. Is the concern with Jones, that we are at age 24. Like, are we talking about just you get the pre-arb years, the arb years, and then you don't sign into a free agent contract is the trend for these guys. But again, like Judge.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's better for us.
Yeah, I will say too, like when Judge was going to be a free agent or after when we went into 2022, I think the same thought with Judge was there, which was, man, if you pay him long term, you're really paying for a lot of bottomed out years. And we haven't gotten there. It could happen, but
based on where everyone expected someone that size to be at age 34, like no one thought he'd be a 10-win player still at this point in his career. And it's like we're in a different era now in terms of maintaining physical attributes. The technology is so far ahead of where it used to be that who knows, maybe they'll be able to get more out of Jones as he enters his 30s than these other guys did in the last decade.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening here. We'll wrap things up here. I think it's a good point to kind of put a pin on it. I think by the next time we record, we'll do it after the World Baseball Classic. I think that's the best way to do it.
Mm.
All right, so next time we record, I'll either be in complete disarray or you might not be able to find me for a week. Like, I might get arrested in Tampa. We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for watching today's episode. If you like this stuff, make sure you like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. And make sure you leave a comment as well. Let me know what you guys think. We appreciate your support. As always, we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody. Let's go, Yanks. Perfect.